we are the ASM Behind the Scenes podcast. My name is Jin Yao.
I'm Jimena.
And I'm Sergio. We're three seniors at ASM.
In this podcast, we will explore the lives of upper school staff members and alumni with the hopes of bringing you fun stories about high school, college, and life in general.
We'll be releasing an episode every week on Fridays.
If you have any cool ideas for future episodes, feel free to email s23142@asmadrid.es. But before further ado, let's get into it. What's up, guys? Today's a really bittersweet day because it's our last episode, but we have a really special guest who is Mr. Ben, the school headmaster. Thank you so much for coming today.
It's an honor. Thank you for inviting me.
First of all, could you explain a little what you do and what your job does?
My job ends up being a little bit of everything. So technically, I'm responsible for all staff, all operations, everything that goes on. I'm the president who had the little sign on his desk that says the buck stops here. That's sort of what someone who's in a leadership position has to do. So people who've gone through the appeals of talking to the teacher, then the divisional director, but there's still a problem in their mind, they're going to come see me. Decisions that have to do with budget or curriculum are going to come here. But in another very real way, all the work is done by other people. So I have ideas, I can approve things, I can put things into the mix, but I'm not the one that actually does the physical work quite frequently.
That's really cool. Thank you.
Okay, so our first question is, what is your best high school or college memory?
Well, I was not a very serious student in high school. When I see you guys, I feel like a total slacker because I took the easy way out. School was relatively easy for me. Mm-hmm. I think for me, the high school memories that stand out were things that that I did with a group of friends. And so something, but in the very end, I did a project that looked at, it was a sociology project, and I looked at the effect. We were in an integrated district, which meant at that time it meant there were black kids, African American, as well as white, and there were beginnings of immigrant kids coming into that part of St. Louis as well. And in much of the South and the Midwest, schools were very, very segregated. So I did a study that sort of looked at what people's attitudes were, kids' attitudes were, and I discovered some different things about my schoolmates that I hadn't realized or appreciated at the time. And it sort of let me cross over some of the boundaries and borders that were there between us. And so that was an interesting sort of final thing. I handed it into the teacher, and he said it was 4 weeks late, but well done.
And what about college?
Well, college, I only lasted 3 semesters at first at college because I wanted to go do other things. And I think college became meaningful to me when I went back as an adult. I had a family then, I had a full-time job, and I started going back because I wanted to learn things, and it was important both career-wise as well as interest-wise, and that's when it became meaningful to me. And I went through a very different program through Lesley University, which is in Cambridge, Mass., where Harvard is, where you did 10 days at the school and then 6 months outside of school doing work on your own. And then you brought what you had learned back into the community. Mm-hmm. And those times was really intense 10 days where you planned your studies with a faculty advisor, but then you did all the work alone. Mm-hmm. So it was really cool to sort of come back. So my memory of being in that kind of a learning community where everybody was doing very different kinds of very individual studies. They were all adults. There were women from Saudi Arabia who weren't allowed to study in their own country. There were people who hadn't been successful in schools and been kicked out of schools because they just couldn't learn in traditional settings. Mm-hmm. There were women who had to stop learning and going to school formally because they had families or something else had happened. So it was a really strange collection of people for different reasons who hadn't been successful or hadn't been allowed to study in higher education. And yet here we all were together sharing the things we were interested in. That was cool.
Yes. And what degree did you decide to be interested in?
I was going back for a very specific reason because I was working in a school, but I wasn't a teacher, and I wasn't going to be able to be a teacher until I got a degree in elementary education. Mm-hmm. So I got a degree in elementary education first.
Nice. Yeah, I want to kind of go back to what you said about how it felt to be in a college with all these different people who kind of were like united in one kind of and from all different backgrounds and everything. I just kind of wanted to ask, like, do you kind of aspire for that in our school? Does that, like, kind of inspire you in a sense to unite our school in a way that you've observed your entire life?
Yeah, I think it stretches it even further, because here you have a great deal of diversity, but you're segregated by age.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're all the same age, so you have your 11th grade, 12th grade, and those. Whereas in my group, there were people who were in their 70s mm-hmm. and people who were in their late teens. And there were people from different cultures and backgrounds and religions, too. And so that having that wealth of life experience, as well as the sort of learning community. So you have a great deal of diversity here,
yeah.
but you're cut off from the rest of the world in a lot of ways, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so having some of that diversity, as well as integration with a wider community, and the ability to apply your learning to real problems
mm-hmm.
and be engaged in those and feel like what you're learning and what you're doing actually makes a difference and has an impact outside,
mm-hmm.
I think that is something that I find intriguing and interesting,
mm-hmm.
and we're looking for different ways to bring that in. Because
mm-hmm.
yes, you need the IB degree, and yes, you have these kinds of things, and you want to go on to university, but still you can have the quality of experience as 16, 17, and 18-year-olds that is much mm-hmm. more vital and real and has an impact and connects you with other people that are beyond the sphere of just being within the walls of this
mm-hmm.
school.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And have you always been interested in the humanities, or have you wanted to pursue something else?
So my father was a university professor, American history and literature,
oh, wow.
and then a pre-law professor.
Mm-hmm.
And my mother went into special education afterwards, and so I wanted to do anything but be involved in a school. So I was a commercial fisherman. I was a builder.
Oh, wow.
I did a lot of other things for quite a number of years and lived a really different life. Remote island off the coast of Maine, no electricity,
wow.
organic farming,
oh, wow.
those kinds
that?
Of things. And then only when my daughter was 3, we suddenly realized you can't live on an island where there's literally nobody else in the winter.
Yeah.
And have a child, and it's not the 1890s or the 1790s, it's the 1990s.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And she needed an opportunity to be connected with something beyond the farm animals and her dogs.
Yeah.
So that was sort of the spur to go off, and I thought I was going to maybe, I was a writer, a surveyor. I did a lot of other things before I finally volunteered in a school,
mm-hmm.
and that sort of started the whole connection to education.
What brought you back to school?
I was working as a caretaker on a Rockefeller estate
mm-hmm.
in Vermont. Beautiful landscape,
yes.
fabulous opportunity,
mm-hmm.
right on the shores of Lake Champlain. I mean, it was gorgeous. But it was somebody else's estate, and I hated that job.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife volunteered me at the local middle school, and I went in just to read to kids with learning disabilities. And all of a sudden, seeing what difference you could make in somebody else's life was one of those shifting experiences.
And then you started growing to where you are now, or did you, like, how did you grow until you're in this position?
Well, it wasn't a straight shot, because I started when in Vermont. That's when I started to volunteer, but I didn't have a degree, so then we moved back to Maine because my wife did get a degree and was a teacher, and so then I started taking classes through the University of Maine and then through this university, Lesley University, so it was several years to finally get a degree. But when we moved back to Maine, I worked in some of the rural schools there as it's like a classroom assistant, but it was in special education. So I was working with kids with learning disabilities.
And you mentioned earlier that you were, like, you did commercial fishing. You're like, you were a commercial fisherman. Did you have any, is that like your kind of hobby? Or did you have any other, like, activities that you did in school and at college?
Well, like I said, college was a short endeavor.
Yeah, true.
From the time when I was 1 year old, we had gone out on summers to this little island.
Oh.
And so being around boats, rowboats, and fishing with my father, you know, just hand lines and going out deep
mm-hmm.
sea fishing and things like that, working with wood, all hanging out with all the old timers on the island who had lived there during the Depression and learned how to fix things, machines, and do all that. That was something that was really interesting. Knowing how to do things with your hands,
mm-hmm.
how to fix things, how to build things, how to make things, was something I was really, really interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And that got me into carpentry, and I built houses.
Oh, wow.
I built log houses and things like that.
Wow, that's really cool. That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so now it's time for our surprise question.
Okay, I'm ready.
So it is... describe a potato and then compare it to an onion.
Potatoes and onions. Okay.
First describe the potato and then...
First describe... Well, there's good potatoes and bad potatoes. And the ones you buy in the store are nothing like the ones that you grow by yourself. Mm-hmm. So a really good potato has a very thin skin that's almost translucent. Mm-hmm. Translucent. It's really firm. When you cut into them, it's almost like when you bite into an apple. There's that crisp kind of cracking open kind of thing. And it has a different texture and flavor altogether. So a really good potato, you pull it out of the ground, and it's sort of clean and gleaming. They're like jewels. It's really exciting to dig potatoes out of the ground when they're grown well. It's great, isn't it? It is really cool. And then there's potatoes with different colors and shapes. The yellow ones that are like banana ones, or the ones that are blue, all kinds. So potatoes are extremely interesting. Compare it to an onion. Well, they do pair well together, potatoes and onions, fried potatoes, onions. They grow in the ground, and so that, but they have very different habits, and yet they complement one another so well in a culinary way.
I guess they both grow on the ground too. That's why they come back to their roots.
And they both have a lot of relatives that we use. I mean, onions, garlic, chives. There's a whole range of plants in that family that are really useful. And then you think, well, potatoes are related to tomatoes and peppers and eggplants. Mm-hmm. And there's that whole family. And the funny thing about potatoes and that whole group is they all came to us from South America. Mm-hmm. And so sort of thinking about the journeys that different plants have made. Mm-hmm. And so they're both similar in that way, is we take them for granted that tomatoes.
It's okay.
We think of potatoes as being, you know, like a food of, you know, Irish or Northern European, and yet it didn't. It came from the native cultures in South America and were brought over by the Spanish when they were here and then spread out. So it's really interesting sort of tracing the cultural history of foods and plants and where they've gone and where they've come through. And I don't know the history as well of onions, but I would imagine it's a really interesting history too.
Yeah.
I liked your answer. I feel like it was very symbolic too.
And so basically what the surprise question means to do is like, this was a question that was asked in an Oxford interview question. I don't know when, but it's... Oxford often asks these very random and surprising questions that should make you go on a rant, which is exactly what you did. So you started talking about potatoes, and then you went to talking about tomatoes.
Because
and then about
connected.
South America. They're connected.
Yeah.
You just find the connections and things.
Yeah.
And we just, we thought it was funny to see kind of how teachers would answer this, or teachers or headmasters would answer this question, since now we're placed in that position and kind of see... Put yourself in our shoes in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because we had chosen this question before you told us that you did farming and things like that, but then it ended up being
perfect. So it had an interesting
it ended up
that way.
It was perfect for that question.
So going back to the original podcast, I always ask this same question, but out of all the places you've traveled to, which are a lot, which one would you say it's the one you would go back to, the one you most liked, I guess?
I tend to fall in love with the places wherever I've gone. I love islands, and so the island where I lived off the coast of Maine and here in Spain, the Balearic Islands, Menorca, and the Canary Islands, Lanzarote, and Malta, those islands to me are exciting and interesting places to go to because they have like a concentrated dose of history and culture, and they're very contained, and they can be very individual. On the other hand, I bought a small property in a little teeny house up in northern Spain in Asturias, and I really love that because of it's like the best of New England in terms of green and growing things, but there's lemon trees and orange trees and palm trees and no frost. It's like the best of both worlds.
Yeah.
And so wherever I go to, you know, little towns or places or travel, I've always fallen in love with that and can kind of imagine myself staying there. But I've made a conscious decision to to base myself later on up in northern Spain.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Yeah. I know you're a writer, but do you ever write poems about the places you go to?
Yes.
Yes?
Yeah, yeah.
So I would love to see them.
They are, I've had some poetry published like in literary journals, mm-hmm. and my work is on Medium.com, and I've been writing there since 2012, so I have hundreds of poems and sort of, some are sort of memoir, some is creative nonfiction, where you sort of take a little bit of license, and some are not quite short stories, but like vignettes kind of things. Mm-hmm. And
that's cool.
Yeah.
And besides the views outside your window or the house in northern Spain, what other things inspire you as a person or in life? As mostly as like in your job, what things inspire you?
So just before this podcast, I went down and was and sat in on a first grade class. It was my little jolt of joy for the day, my little first grade fix. Mm-hmm. And so quite literally, you know, and I've written a poem about this, being out in the front in the morning and saying good morning to families and the kids is you know, as you guys, as they come in, there is something deeply human and powerful in those small things and those small interactions that we have that you can either take for granted or you can give them some kind of really some really deep meaning and actually stop and, you know, hi, how are you? And you're not just, you know, in passing and it's like already forgotten, but it's an actual moment of human connection that is important. And so those moments, being able to go into classrooms here at school, being able to connect with what kids are doing and learning and being able to be there's when you walk by a playground, there's kids who say, look at me, look what I can do. And in a way, all of us, even as we get older, there's a piece of us that's still saying those things. You're proud of what you can do, and you want someone to recognize you for who you are, each one of you, and for what you can do and for what you bring to the situation in the moment. And so being able to share that is inspiring.
Wow.
Actually,
I really
Mr.
Like Bosu
said the same thing when handing out the trays during lunch.
Yeah.
He said the same thing, how, you know, he feels like he's connecting more to the kids and teenagers and how he really likes it.
Yeah. I can imagine, like, I loved what you said, but I can imagine, like, going to, like, a first grade class and just seeing them, seeing your work, I guess, be put, being reflected, and knowing that your work is being is impacting their lives, and like, it's crazy to think that like their whole, like, they're still in first grade, like we're in 12th grade, and they're starting, like,
the journey
still
and who they will be is contained, just like a seed, going back to the potatoes and onions. Who they will be is going to be determined by the experiences they have in ways that we can't predict, because you don't know sometimes the things that you give somebody else in the small ways that they will draw on or will find sustenance in later on in their lives, or find inspiration in.
They could be French fries.
You just see
a potato has
a
so
potato
many uses.
Or an onion. But it's great to just see how you're impacting other people's lives. I guess, I mean, this is kind of like going away from the podcast, but I mean, I kind of felt that way a little bit with the musical. When I finished the musical, my favorite part was going out where everyone would be like outside of the auditorium talking to, like, come say hi to you. And that's the best part, because obviously when you're performing, you're not in contact with the audience, you're performing for them. It's kind of the same for you. Like, you're not in contact with them. But for me, it's like when I went to go say hi to them, they tell me like, wow, I want to do the musical next year. Or I had like little kids come up to me, like, say, like, I want to be you when I grow up.
Can I have your autograph?
People say that they wanted to take a picture with me. And like, I was like, yeah, of course, like, sure. And it's great to know that, like, and it's a very, I think it's a good analogy in the sense that, like, the stage is your kind of playground in a sense, and the audience is the people that you're, the people in the school. And just knowing that, for example, my impacts in the musical have helped bring back the arts in a sense, because before, because of COVID, the arts were kind of dead.
I
think that this musical really helped
reinvigorate it.
It really
for sure.
helped revive it. And it's a great feeling to know that
you played a part.
Yeah, I played a part in that. And people let me know that in their contact with me. So I get what you mean by wanting to interact with the people that.
And those moments when you get to step across, they're all the things that divide us. You know, position, schedules, age, a million things that divide us. But there are moments when you can step across and sort of break through those barriers and connect directly and realize, like you said, the impact. And then there's an exchange. And those are powerful moments.
Yeah.
I feel like all seniors are going to miss high school, even though there were some parts that they hated it.
Yeah.
You don't know what you missed till it's gone.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's very true.
Comparing high school now to high school when you were in high school, how big of a difference is it?
For me, it's day and night. I mean, I was physically afraid in high school. There were fights frequently. There were a number of assistant principals who were great big sort of ex-American football player types with walkie-talkies, mm-hmm. and they responded to outbreaks and altercations in the hallways. Oh. So there was a feeling of some kind of, you know, danger. Maybe in memory it was not as extreme, but it was nonetheless there. Mm-hmm. The work that you do is much more advanced than the work that I had to do in high school. I mean, when I was in high school, we were still in chemistry. You used the slide rule to figure out logarithms.
Oh.
It's ancient technology. I got a typewriter when I left to go to college. My dad gave me a typewriter. In so many small and big ways, the things that you're doing and that you're able to do are much more advanced. On the other hand, there was a degree of innocence and freedom that we had that I think you have it some more here in Spain,
mm-hmm.
Where you can get around public transportation, you can move, you can do and explore on your own. But there are a lot of kids in high school who, for either other kinds of fear or the ways that communities are now built up, I walked to my school from the house, so it was a neighborhood
mm-hmm.
school that
yeah.
way. There was both an innocence and a freedom that we had that I'm not 100% sure that kids had. And so it allowed us to think of things that we could do. We could take off. We
yeah.
could
mm-hmm.
do things on our own. And sometimes I'm not 100% sure that that is as common an experience now as,
mm-hmm.
as it was
yeah.
then. Even though you get to do and have some tremendous advantages, there's still
mm-hmm.
other ways where...
Mm-hmm.
It's there's some big differences that way.
Yeah.
Well, so we kind of forgot to ask, how did you end up in Madrid? I guess because
I ended up in Madrid because I knew I was leaving South Africa. I was the site coordinator of a pre-K to grade 8 campus there, part of the
mm-hmm.
American International School of Johannesburg, and I knew I was leaving because when you leave those kinds of positions, you say you're leaving
mm-hmm.
a year and a half before, and you have no idea even what jobs are going to be open.
Mm-hmm.
And I had applied to different jobs, and some hadn't worked out, and I got a phone call from this somebody, and he said, "Did you get my email? Who are you?" I didn't know. And it was the former head of school here, Bill O'Hale.
Mm-hmm.
So he cold called me because this position, not this position, but I was a lower school director first
mm-hmm.
for a couple of years. And that position wasn't even advertised, but he had heard about me through a mutual colleague.
Mm-hmm.
And so I ended up coming because of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew I was leaving South Africa, but I had no idea where I was going to end up.
Wow. Yeah. That
and
can
I
be
knew.
A good feeling sometimes, or about...
You
don't know what
just,
you're going to do tomorrow.
Yeah.
You just go into life and see what it gives you.
Should we...
Yeah, I think the last question that we're going to ask you is, what advice would you give, the classic, what advice would you give to students or parents, anyone listening?
The last advice of this podcast.
About life, college, about...
And don't be in a hurry to get from point A to point B. There's all kinds of things that happen between those two points. And if you are just focused on getting from the end of high school to career, and you think that that's a straight line, you will miss... You may find that that's true for you, but in the process, you will miss a million and one opportunities that happen at every single point along the way. So stay open to what's around you and to other possibilities. And be open to the fact that there's not more than one, there's almost an infinite number of ways to get from where you are to where you might end up being. And don't be afraid to make mistakes. There's no such thing as a wrong choice in that regard. It'll take you a distance, and then you can decide as a result of that where you want to go from that.
Mm-hmm.
Feeling like I'm a loser, or I've lost the chance, or it's all over just because this didn't happen, My experience is that you can have many iterations of yourself along the way and be open to that, and the universe, the world, provides an intense amount of choice. Take advantage of it. It's an enormously varied, interesting, exciting world out there. Go for it.
Whoa, thank you so much.
Love that. That was perfect. Thank you.
Yeah, totally welcome. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening, guys.